Good morning. This is John Richardson speaking with you from Toronto, Canada. Today is Monday, July the 19th, 2001. And I am starting off this very, very busy week with a very important discussion with Karen Alpert, who has just published a fascinating post on the SEAT website. Karen, welcome. How are you today?
It's fine this evening in Australia, John. Thank you.
Okay. You mean it's not the morning there too?
No, it's not the morning here too. And it's 2021, not 2001, but.
Oh, okay. Did I say 2001? As I say, I have, well, that's because I have 20 years of catch up this week to do. But
yeah.
In any case, okay. I'm glad that one of us knows it's the evening and knows what the right year is. Okay. Anyway, listen, read your latest post on the SEAT site with great interest. Talks about, Basically, if you want to know where you're going, you better have a clear goal and objective, I think, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, okay. So we were seeing a lot of activity around RBT without really defining the term. So you see a lot of different groups talking about, we want RBT, we're moving towards RBT. And then when you look at what their proposal is, it isn't really RBT. So it isn't really a residence-based taxation system. It's a carve-out from the current citizenship-based taxation system.
Oh, my God. So, that's a lot, of stuff to unload. I can see this is really upsetting you. Is that a fair statement?
I wouldn't say upsetting, but... I'm a bit passionate about this topic, yeah.
Yes, you are. Well, you are, and for good reason, absolutely. Well, let's break this down a little bit. So RBT, whatever it means, is certainly the rage these days, isn't it?
It certainly is. And I guess the point of the post is that, you know, you can have several different people calling different things RBT, and they're not really working together and they're not really working towards the same goal. So it's really important to make sure that we're all working in the same direction and that we understand what it is that residence-based taxation is.
All right, well, why don't we start there?
Let's start there,
all right, with what residence-based taxation is. And actually, just on the off chance that somebody's listening to this who isn't as versed on this as perhaps you, why don't we begin with what the problem is? All right, to begin with, what's the problem? We don't have residence-based taxation, no. Whatever that is. We do have something else, which we clearly know what it is. So why don't we start with what we know we have?
Well, the United States has a citizenship-based taxation system. That means that citizenship by itself is enough to give the IRS jurisdiction over taxing your worldwide income. Now, you think, okay, yeah, so I'm a citizen, I should be taxed, but no other country in the world does it quite the same way that the US does. So if you're a citizen of the US by accident, because your parents were in the US when you were born, because your father was born in the US and lived there through his university and then moved away and you were born in another country. There's all sorts of ways you can get US citizenship. It's really, really broad.
So Karen, just to pause you there for a minute. So am I understanding you to say that if you're born outside the United States to a parent who was born inside the United States, that the United States is claiming the right to tax you?
If your parent lived in the U.S. long enough to transmit citizenship, yes. If you're a U.S. citizen, the U.S. claims the right to tax you, regardless of where you live, regardless of whether you have ever lived in the U.S. So this is citizenship-based taxation. Citizenship by itself confers the jurisdiction to tax.
No connection to the country whatsoever.
Not required. Citizenship is all that's required.
Wow, that's amazing. All right. So this could be a big problem, because what that would seem to do.
Well, it can be a big problem because, first of all, for a lot of people, it comes as a complete surprise. Why is it that, you know, they have no idea that the U.S. has any interest in taxing their income. And they will have gone through their lives then planning everything based on this tax system where they live, and without any idea of how it's incompatible with or inconsistent with the U.S. tax system. And this can lead to all sorts of problems if they try to become compliant with the U.S. tax rules.
Okay, so basically we've got a problem here that the U.S. is defining its tax base differently from the rest of the world. It includes a lot of people who have no connection to the U.S. other than sort of a forced or conferred citizenship. Or to put it another way, what's happening is the U.S. is claiming the right to actually impose worldwide taxation on people who don't live in the United States or full tax residents of other countries and have no real connection to the United States.
I think the other really big group that we need to make sure we have in mind up front, because as compelling as the case of the accidental Americans is, it's also the case of the American immigrant. So this is a person who was born and raised in the United States and moved to another country. Maybe they married someone in another country. Maybe they got a job in another country. And they've made a life for themselves in this other country. They've emigrated. They are no longer, they no longer consider themselves U.S. residents. They don't have anything in the U.S. They may have some old retirement assets, but the bulk of their economic activity is where they live, and they've emigrated. And with every other developed country in the world, if you emigrate like that and you've moved all of your economic context to another country, the country you came from, the source country, gives up the right to tax your worldwide income. It's the destination country that has the right to tax your worldwide income, the country that you're actually living in today. And with the citizenship-based taxation system, there's no way to emigrate and actually leave the U.S. tax system short of renouncing your U.S. citizenship.
So in other words, a U.S. citizen decides they want to live somewhere other than the United States in the world, unless they renounce their citizenship, basically has to live in fear of the IRS the rest of their lives. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
And I've heard you say before that it's more than just being taxed. Is it not true that the U.S. is actually imposing a very different, a separate, and far more punitive, penalty-laden type of tax system on American citizens living outside the United States?
Well, for those who have built their economic life in another country, the U.S. tax code has all sorts of punitive provisions for foreign income. Foreign mutual funds, foreign corporations, all sorts of things the U.S. has punitive rules for, just because they're foreign. And gee, if you live in Australia and all of your assets are in Australia, all of your assets are foreign to the U.S. So mm-hmm. Any U.S. citizen living outside the U.S. who's a tax resident of another country is automatically involved in cross-border tax issues.
Yes, or as one person once put it, is presumed to be involved in fraud abroad, right? Very interesting. I think it's pretty clear why this is a problem. To make it real simple, what you're saying is the U.S. treats citizenship in and of itself as a sufficient condition to tax all your income wherever earned forever, right?
Right, okay. Right. And no other developed country does this. So,
well, does any undeveloped country do this?
Eritrea kind of tries, but their rules are very, very mild compared to what the U.S. does.
Karen, to compare the United States to Eritrea in this regard is a gross insult to Eritrea. They're a minor league player.
Exactly.
Only the U.S. imposes this.
You know, a lot of times people will say, China or South Africa is imposing citizenship-based taxation. But that's not true. There's still ways that you can break tax residents from these countries. Now, they may be sticky, and there's good reason for tax residents to be sticky. You don't want people to be, you know, saying, okay, it's Tuesday, I want to be a tax resident of Belgium, and it's Wednesday, maybe I'll be a tax resident of France. You want these things to be relatively stable over time. And you want the country with the primary tax jurisdiction should be the one that you have the closest economic ties to. And that's not something that changes overnight.
But the point here is that the United States is imposing worldwide taxation, not because of economic ties or anything, or because of any tie at all, other than just based on the circumstances of your birth, really.
Right.
Unless you naturalize. It was amazing. I once heard an Obama speech where he proudly proclaimed the circumstances of one's birth should not determine the outcome of one's life. But this is exactly how the U.S. tax system works, doesn't it?
Yeah, certainly for citizens, it does.
All right. So the point is that, you know, I think there's wide agreement for anybody who's thought about this or understands that this is an absolutely intolerable situation. It has to change. And people say it has to change to make it like the rest of the world. And the rest of the world is something called residence-based taxation. So everybody's talking about RBT, residence-based taxation, but you know, actually, people aren't talking about the same thing at all. So tell me about residence-based taxation. What should it mean, first of all?
Okay, so the way every other country in the world does it is they determine the jurisdiction to tax worldwide income based on where you live. If you live in the country, we're going to tax your worldwide income. If you live outside the country, you're a non-resident. You may be subject to special rules for non-residents. But yeah, different tax rates, possibly, whatever. But if you're a non-resident, then we're only going to tax the income you earn inside our country. And anything you earn outside the country is not part of our jurisdiction. We don't need to know about it. You don't need to disclose it. And we don't have any tax rules that are going to affect your foreign income if you're a resident if you're a non-resident of the country.
Okay.
If you're non-resident only, so if you're not a resident of Australia, Australia will tax your Australian source of income, rent, dividends, but it's not going to tax your income in Singapore or Hong Kong.
Okay, so now you're actually talking about two very different and important pieces of the equation, so to speak.
That is,
who is subject to taxation and what are they subject to taxation on?
Right.
So let's
start. But they're interlinked.
They're clearly interlinked. But for all of these countries, the way RBT works by definition is that you have to be a resident to be taxed on worldwide income. So the real issue is, what does it mean to be a resident? And then once that's been determined as a resident, what are you taxed on, right?
Right.
Okay. So would it be true that when we think about this problem, that the focus should be on what does it mean to be a resident more than if you're a resident or not, what is the income you're taxed on?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
All right. So
And the residence provisions are key.
Okay,
they vary. There's all sorts of different ways you can set those policy levers.
But what all residence-based countries have is they are not based on citizenship, correct?
Correct. They're based on where you live.
Okay, they're based on where you live. So
economic ties are. So it might be domicile, which is a bit more broad than just where you're physically living. But still, you can change a domicile.
Yeah. I mean, they all involve, even domicile, at least initially, involves a physical connection to the United States. Notice that U.S. citizenship-based taxation does not even initially involve a physical connection to the United States, you know, by virtue of the fact that somebody can be born abroad to a U.S. citizen parent and get U.S. citizenship, right?
Right.
Okay. So Is it true then, I think it is, that the key to transitioning from citizenship-based taxation to residence-based taxation would be to really focus on the definition of residence primarily? Is that the case?
Primarily, yeah. That's going to be the key bit. How do you determine who's a resident?
And this is where
you're going to take care of all of the gaming that people are talking about. Yeah, they want to plug the loopholes. Well, you can plug the loopholes by having a sufficiently sticky definition of residence, but one that can still be broken if someone really moves.
Okay. So would you agree then with this sort of short consolidation of it, that to move to a system of residence-based taxation, citizenship can no longer be a sufficient condition for tax residency? Would you agree? Would you go that far?
Right, absolutely.
All right. Would you then also say that any proposal that allows the United States to retain tax jurisdiction over people just because they're citizens would not be residence-based taxation?
Right.
Okay. Maybe you can talk a little more about the various proposals that are going on, why this is so confusing, and how you see the landscape of RBT advocacy at the moment.
So, really, we have very little in the way of concrete proposals this time around. There's a lot of talking around a couple of proposals that were put out several years ago. There was the bill by holding, which was probably, it's very simple, but basically all it did was it took section 911, that's the foreign earned income exclusion, and it said, oh, well, we'll get rid of the earned part and foreign income is going to be exempt from US tax. Now, it didn't get rid of filing requirements, it didn't get rid of information returns. All it did was exempt a larger portion of your non-US income from US taxation.
Okay, well,
they're still claiming the jurisdiction over the individual. They're right. Just carving out a little bit that they're saying, okay, we're not gonna tax this.
All right, so fascinating. So if we look at something like the holding bill, what that actually, all right, so the holding bill, first of all, did not, would you agree it did not end citizenship taxation?
No, it didn't.
Okay.
And it didn't change the CFC rules at all. So you could still be a shareholder of a controlled foreign corporation if you were non-resident. It didn't change the FATCA reporting requirements. Didn't change the FBAR reporting requirements. It just said you could exclude some income.
Okay, so in other words...
And presumably you would have to file a return to tell the IRS what income you were excluding.
So what it did do, what it did not do was end U.S. tax jurisdiction over citizens because they're citizens, correct?
Right.
Okay, what it did was, it said, all right, on the one hand, citizens are still subject to U.S. tax jurisdiction and we have still proudly have citizenship taxation. But what we're saying is that U.S. citizens living outside the United States can exclude certain non-U.S. income from your tax base, correct?
Correct. That's pretty much in a nutshell what it did.
Okay. So, and this is not a criticism. I think the holding bill was a great step forward because it began a recognition that the U.S., at least for individuals, should not be imposing taxation on the non-U.S. income for non-resident individuals. But the key point here is that it did it in a way that retained citizenship taxation, right?
It retained the jurisdiction over those citizens, yes.
Okay. So that would be citizenship taxation?
Exactly. Okay. Yes, I'm agreeing with you, yes.
Okay. All right. Now, it would seem to me, given the way you're describing this and the way that you wrote this up in your blog post, that, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think what you're saying is the only way to move towards residence-based taxation is for the U.S. to stop using citizenship as a sufficient condition for tax residency, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Okay.
So anything that any proposal that keeps citizenship as relevant for U.S. taxation would not be residence-based taxation. Is that your view?
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Very, very interesting. All right. Now, you know, RBT is clearly the rage these days. I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, talking about this. And, I guess to a large extent, your post was based on your observation that although everybody seems to want residence-based taxation, not everybody is defining it in the same way. So your view is that you're arguing for what I would call personally pure residence-based taxation, meaning citizenship is irrelevant to tax residency.
Right.
Is it your view that all the proposals out there are based on that principle? We've talked about the whole.
I have yet to see a proposal being put forward that is not pure RBT, other than the post that you put on your blog just a week or so ago.
Okay.
Where you defined RBT. And that's not really a legislative proposal, but just kind of an outline of what has to change in the Internal Revenue
Code. Well, I mean, I was just saying, as long as citizenship is the trigger for worldwide taxation, that's not.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all it is.
And you provided a good roadmap for what needed to be changed and how residents might be conceptualized. Because clearly, if you go from using citizenship as your trigger for tax jurisdiction to using residence, then you have to be very, very careful about how you define residence.
Absolutely.
I think part of the stumbling block that a lot of these groups have is they look at the current residence tests in the U.S. Internal Revenue Code, the substantial presence test, which is counting days. That can be gamed. That can be gamed very easily. If you have a good advisor, they'll tell you exactly how many days you can be in the U.S. to avoid being treated as a tax resident. So you can't go straight to that and not get some of the abuse that some of these parties are worried about.
Of course not.
But, right. But if you put in a definition of residence similar to what other countries have, like Canada's got the ordinarily resident. Australia's got something similar. Some other countries use domicile. They use different things. And in most of these countries, these residence tests sit right beside a day counting test like the substantial presence test. And the way it works in practice is something like the substantial presence test will catch you on the way in. When you emigrate to the country, and something like the ordinarily resident is meant to be a little sticky on the way out.
Harder to get out. Listen, I've got to tell you that I live in Canada, and I can tell you that it has very sticky tax residency and a tax system on the brutality that I think that the U.S. Congress would be very proud of and perhaps might want to emulate. So clearly, this just came into my mind. I would just like you to confirm this. This has nothing to do with FATCA, agreed?
Oh, no. FATCA is an enforcement for CBT.
Okay. So that's not really the issue. Although
if the U.S. gives up jurisdiction based on citizenship and changes it to jurisdiction based on residence, then FATCA should only apply to U.S. residents.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Okay. All right. So things like, I think where all of us agree is that the actual nuts and bolts of U.S. tax compliance for Americans abroad is somewhere between difficult and impossible. But as much as I certainly agree that modified filing requirements for Americans abroad and that sort of thing would be nice to have, to be clear, this is not a change to residence-based taxation, correct?
Right, and it doesn't solve the problems for everybody. It, you know, a lot of the problems for someone who's an employee with only wage income and, you know, modest investment income, no investment income, I guess, you know, that for them, it would be really easy to fix. And but still, there's this jurisdiction which will stop them from forming a corporation, investing in mutual funds.
Yeah, absolutely.
All these types of things, right?
This has to come to an end. And I mean, obviously my view is, and I think your view is, the only way to bring this to an end is through getting pure residence-based taxation, not what these other things are, which is sort of the continuation of citizenship-based taxation with a list of exemptions or modifications. Agreed?
Yeah. And, you know, once you bring it into the code so deeply that it's residence that confers jurisdiction rather than citizenship, that becomes really hard to undo. Whereas if it's, we're exempting, you know, investment income as well as earned income. Well, you know, the foreign earned income exclusion was repealed for a few years. Any exclusion is easy to repeal.
Well, and also, given the amount of this that's run by regulation, you know, I mean, I think a lot of these small changes, frankly, could be achieved through regulation anyway. And I think it's a waste of an awful lot of political capital, you know, to amend the Internal Revenue Code to provide some kind of simplified filing procedure for Americans abroad that retains citizenship-based taxation. At least that's my personal view of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So basically, you and I have both been at this for about a long time, I think, at this point, not as long as anybody. So I think, well, I'm going to call you a veteran in advocacy for BT. You're a veteran.
Okay.
And I assume you would agree with the observation that it's very difficult to get Congress's attention on this issue. Agreed?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We were really lucky, the people who were doing it were really lucky to get Holding on board on that. Nobody since has been that interested in it.
So doesn't it seem to you that the focus of this advocacy has got to address the right issue and not just some, small thing that provides a small amount of relief? In other words, shouldn't advocates for residence-based taxation actually be advocating for pure residence-based taxation instead of some kind
Absolutely. If you're going to ask, so first of all, if you don't ask for it, there's no way you're going to get it. And nobody's asking Congress for this.
That is extraordinary. Let's just pause for that for a minute. I find that absolutely extraordinary that no group that I'm aware of has actually taken the position that the answer, the goal, the request, the demand is pure residency-based taxation, right?
Right.
Why not?
Yeah, you know, I think that a lot of these groups they're looking at, you know, they're kind of deciding up front what they think they can get through Congress. So then they are modifying what they're going to ask for. They're basically giving up before they even try.
Yeah. So they're more interested in getting something through Congress than what it is they're getting through Congress.
Yeah. And you know, there's no question that once Congress does something, even if it, you know, doesn't fix the problem, they've done something for Americans abroad, and it'll be 20 years before they do it again.
If ever. Yeah. So what's the message, Karen? What should the advocacy be focused on here?
We should be focused on defining residence so that we can ask for a pure residence-based taxation. Whereas when someone is no longer resident, they are no longer under the jurisdiction of the Internal Revenue Code.
Even if they remain a U.S. citizen.
Even if they remain a U.S. citizen. Citizenship is not enough to confer tax jurisdiction.
Well put. And on that note, thanks very much. And I encourage people to read Karen's very well, everything about Karen's well organized, as you know. But one more example of Karen's great organizational skills with this particular post where she summarized this. Thank you very much. This has been a great discussion. And I actually want to stop on that particular note. It was so good, unless you want to repeat it one more time.
We should be asking for pure residence-based taxation. And we should be focusing on the definition of residence, not looking for exemptions from citizenship-based taxation. So pure RBT is what we should be looking for. And residence should be the only criteria for determining tax residence, not citizenship.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
For what it's worth, I agree with you totally. It's getting late.
It is
the evening in Australia. All right. Well, you've done some great work today then, as you bring your day to an end. And thanks
Thank you, John.
Thanks for this.
Thanks for having me.
Okay.